America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Hoffman Show on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We are streaming live on YouTube as well at the Team 980. Coming up at 5:30, a Jaden Daniels Tape Tuesday breakdown, but right now it is time for Not My Beat.
Today's top story, from the perspective of someone who's there.
You are looking live.
This just in.
Not My Beat.
As always on a Tuesday, it is time to welcome in our friend Mitch Tischler, co-host of the Beltway Football Podcast with J.P. Finley. Mitchell, how are you, sir, on trade deadline Marshawn Lattimore's a Commander Day?
Today is a full-on day for air horns. We got to let those things ring. Holy potatoes, I cannot believe that he's a Commander.
Thank you, Anthony. Excellently done. And we got a full-on holy potatoes from Mitch Tischler. Let's start here, Mitch, before we get to the fit, before we get to the football of it all. Did you think Adam Peters would wind up swinging the biggest trade of the day on deadline day?
Absolutely not. I did not think the Commanders were going to make a big move. When you look at, you know, what the trade compensation was, which I'm sure you guys have gone through already, it wasn't the most massive compensation as far as trade when you consider the other guys that they have that they've given up to make this trade happen. But I thought if they made a move, it was going to be a fringe move at best. But here he is swinging that stick and putting this team in a real position to compete for big-time things when it comes to late January, early February.
So for me, I was always not opposed to making a big trade, but if you were going to do something significant, I did hope that it would be someone who would be here long term, kind of the Chicago Bears method from last year of, hey, let's acquire Montez Sweat and just beat free agency, if you will. Although for Chicago last year, they were in a unique spot of not really having their draft pick matter because they had the Panthers pick. And so when they won a few extra games at the end of the year, not that big of a deal, whatever, but they were able to sign Sweat long-term and, you know, he continues to be a big part of their defense. For Washington to give up the third rounder and have it be for potentially a rental, what do you make? I don't disagree with the move, to be clear. I'm not saying this from a critical place. I'm just curious what you make of it and how you think Peters will explain that part of it, of being willing to give up a somewhat significant piece for what is a rental barring some kind of contract change.
Well, I think Adam Peters is going to justify it by looking at, you're essentially trading Jahan Dotson, John Ridgeway, and a fifth rounder and a fourth rounder for Lattimore and a fifth rounder. I mean, certainly if you break it down to third, fourth, and sixth, and you talk about the actual picks, but those were extra picks that they acquired, you know, this season or during the offseason / this season. And so what I'm interested to hear from Adam Peters is, when they made those moves, was the idea to build up something so that if they found themselves in this situation, they had the ammo to make a move that wouldn't necessarily affect the future in terms of draft compensation. But listen, I mean, this organization has talked about recalibration from the beginning, and that thing happened way quicker than anyone expected because Jaden Daniels came out of the gates and is a superstar in this league immediately. And so I think the recalibration now is not for the players, it's not for the team, it's not for ownership. I think it's for fans and media. We have to rewire the way that we think about this franchise and rewire the way that we think about these moves. Sure, it could be a short-term rental. What if he comes in here and is the player that we've seen on the field in New Orleans, you know, for the past five seasons and is great? And not only that, but he frees up some of the rest of the secondary to do things that they are more comfortable in. That could turn into a long-term signing. And, you know, there are a bunch of players in the locker room that know him, you know, from his time at Ohio State. I think it's an interesting move, but I think it's the right move. And when your window is open in the NFL, I think you need to, you know, I think it was Sean McVay, attack success. And I think that's what you're seeing Adam Peters and Dan Quinn do right now.
Mitch Tischler, Beltway Football Podcast, with us on the Hoffman Show. I don't disagree with that. And I think you hear, obviously, the report from the weekend, Adam Schefter saying there are players around the NFL that are basically like, get me to Washington. And if you can't get me now, then we'll try to get there later in free agency. And maybe Lattimore does come in and it gives them a leg up to re-sign him sometime either later this season or even in free agency in the offseason because he has a good experience here. What did you think of Washington's defense coming out of the Giants game as they prepare for Pittsburgh and Philadelphia the next couple weekends versus how you feel about them now with Lattimore in the fold?
That was a good pun when you said if he get a leg up with Marshawn Lattimore, because obviously the concern or the question is how far along is he in that hamstring recovery and when is he going to be able to step in and play? And certainly I don't think that Adam Peters and Dan Quinn would make this move if they thought that this was a long-term issue with them. However, we don't know exactly where he is in recovery, whether he's going to be able to step right in and play. But big picture, I think you look at that secondary and, you know, the games that they've been challenged by good quarterback receiver combos, they haven't really stepped up to the plate that much. And they haven't been able to, you know, none of their corners are shutdown corners. And so as far as the pass defense goes, I love what it does for them because it frees up, you know, Benjamin St. Juice to become your number two corner. And I think that's a position that he can be at least accepted by the fan base, the coaching staff, everybody as, you know, a better position for him than having to be your number one corner. It also allows, obviously, Mikey Sanders still to work his way back into the slot. And I've seen a lot of people talk about, you know, those guys being more comfortable in those positions. And I do think that that's, you know, a real piece to this trade, but let's not sell Mikey Sanders still short. You know, this is a guy who is probably more comfortable in the slot, but has done a admirable job on the outside and has proven that in a pinch you can move him out there and he'll make some plays for you. I just think as a whole, you look at the secondary and how much it helps having a guy who potentially could be a shutdown corner, who's a lockdown one side of the field. You don't necessarily have to worry about rolling a safety over top of him every single time. And by doing that, you allow, you know, Jeremy Chinn to step up. You allow Frankie Louvu to get after the quarterback a little bit more. It allows you to be a lot. We talked a lot about Cliff Kingsbury and how he's multiple on offense and, you know, he's creative and a lot of eye candy. I think now Joe Witt and Dan Quinn have a little bit more ammo to do similar type things on the defensive side of the ball. And we know how successful they can be when they do have a corner with that ilk.
No, that's a great point because I do think that Joe earlier in the year was more aggressive with some of that stuff and then kind of had this moment where he went, I don't think we can do that. And so eventually, you know, how long that takes to get to that level where they trust the communication on the back end, where they trust Lattimore's hamstring, they trust him with a full complement of reps. Like that is a kind of an interesting thing with the schedule, Mitch, is they have Pittsburgh now, short week for Lattimore-ish, coming in, assuming he gets here tonight, practices the rest of the week. But he's got to learn as much of the playbook as they're going to give him for the week. And then it's Thursday Night Football. So it's not even like you have two full weeks. He's going to get here and within 8 days play two games. And that's not the ideal situation to onboard someone new. Although I will say I talked to Charles Davis in a conversation everyone can hear about 50 minutes from now. And he did say for corner, he feels like that's a little bit easier transition than a lot of other positions, because ultimately they can look at him and be like, play man, got it, right, and play cover three, got it, and it's mostly the same spot to spot.
Yeah, I mean, I think the big thing is going to be him understanding, you know, what the reads are that Joe Witt and Dan Quinn kind of put in for this defense as far as that goes. But like you said, he's a lockdown man corner. Hasn't allowed a touchdown in man coverage since 2021. You know?
Hey, I'm sorry. Hold on. Right, what did you just say? I've seen a lot of stats today. You said what?
He has not allowed a touchdown in man coverage since 2021.
That's good, Mitchell.
Yeah, that's pretty good. And to your point, they do have two games in 8 days, which is obviously not ideal in this situation. But like you said, hey, Marshawn, go cover George Pickens. Man-to-man, don't let him beat you over the top. Hey, go cover Devonta Smith or, you know, A.J. Brown or whoever it is that he's going to cover when they play the Eagles. Don't let them get over top of you. Because you know who feasted on the Commanders last year? A.J. Brown had a pretty dang good day. And I don't want to overlook the Steelers in any which way, because that game is a very important game, particularly when you look at, you know, kind of the pantheon of the NFL and where the Commanders stand in power rankings and all those different things. But if we're being honest with ourselves, that Eagles game on Thursday night is a little bit more important. That's probably going to be for first place in the division. Amazon's going to get a great Thursday night game, and all of a sudden you have a defense that's going to be, you know, amped up a little bit, have a little bit more help for them as they head into that game. I'm super excited to see where this thing goes.
Yeah, those Philly games have been looming large in the back of my mind, specifically because of how Philadelphia wants to play, and I feel significantly better about it now. Mitch Tischler, co-host Beltway Football Podcast, with us here on the Hoffman Show. And, of course, the Steelers make two moves today, too. Their next opponent, they add Mike Williams, who is someone that I think St. Juice can stick with. That is something to watch. He has been explosive down the field, but he's not like the most nuanced route runner. He's just like a big dude, and he's not like the speediest guy either. He's just big and good at catching the ball. So one-on-one, St. Juice, like, can you be in position and actually make a play? We'll see, as I would assume that Lattimore gets a lot of pickings. But they also acquire our old friend Preston Smith, Mitchell, and off a week where the Commanders' offensive line was fantastic. How do you feel going into this Pittsburgh matchup with T.J. Watt on one side, now Preston on the other, and a whole bunch of good players in between?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of like what you said about Mike Williams. I kind of look at him as the wide receiver version of Benjamin St. Juice. Big body, can make good plays, big plays, but isn't a guy who's going to wow you with any technique, speed, quickness. They're big guys who can use their size to give themselves an advantage. That should be a pretty fun little matchup there. The Preston Smith trade was interesting. I was surprised that the Packers were moving on from him. I know that the Steelers have had a lot of injury attrition at their end position, so they needed a little bit of help coming in. And obviously, he's a guy that Commanders fans that we know well, as he's been around. But let's be honest, that when you look at that Steelers defense, you're looking at T.J. Watt on the end. You're looking at Cam Hayward in the middle. I mean, those two big bodies are going to be a load. What I like when you look at this matchup is T.J. Watt is a better version of whatever the Giants had off the edge, and Brian Burns is a very good edge rusher. Cam Hayward isn't quite the big body that Dexter Lawrence is in New York, but similarly, I think you generally have a similar matchup, offensive line versus defensive line with the Commanders. And you know, I was super impressed with Brandon Coleman on Sunday, first game that he was, you know, the man at left tackle, and he stepped up and played well. I was impressed with Cliff Kingsbury, who did the right things in terms of giving him help, giving him chips when he needed it. And let's give Bobby Johnson, you know, a little hat tip. He went back up to New York, faced a Giants defense that led the NFL in sacks. You know, he was run out of town last year. Folks, you know, had pitchforks at his doors for how that O-line, how that Giants O-line had played. And he walked back in there and, you know, kind of gave him a proverbial middle finger there, allowing no sacks to the NFL leaders. So, you know, T.J. Watt's going to be a handful for, you know, for this O-line and for Cliff to scheme around. But they've done a really good job all year of doing that. And they played some other elite edge rushers and haven't gotten, you know, entirely burned by them. So I think you accept that T.J. Watt's going to get, you know, a sack or two, or, you know, have a little bit of an impact on the game. It's whether they're able to limit that to not affect Jaden, you know, down to down, play to play as they go forward.
It's something that Logan and I talked about this morning, of how the Commanders just seem to understand the order of operations, that it doesn't matter how good your route concepts are. It doesn't matter how good your quarterback is at really anything if he's back in the pocket dead. And the fact that the Commanders just are always willing to add chip help, always willing to move the pocket, always, hey, let's do pop pass here and give a little zhuzh to a regular pass concept to make sure that the run, or the pursuit thinks it's run for a hot second, it slows it down. And so it wouldn't surprise me if they do something crazy like, hey, John Bates, you're going to play every snap at half right tackle. You and Andrew Wiley are responsible for TJ Watt on every single play. It's 2-on-1. We're never doing anything else. Like, Cliff understands on a fundamental level, just to be clear, he's not actually going to do that. But, like, on a fundamental level, TJ Watt could still ruin the Commanders' day on Sunday because he's TJ Watt and he's that good. But it's going to have to come in spite of some massive effort to prevent him from doing so, because there is such a clear fundamental understanding compared to, say, what the Giants did, where Daniel Jones just has no time ever. The pocket is ever collapsing upon him, and their pass offense is somewhere between enigmatic and non-existent because of it.
I believe we call that the Sam Howell offense. However, what I like about Cliff, he hasn't been shy about having Trent Scott be in as a tackle-eligible sixth offensive lineman. But what you mentioned about the route combination situation is also impressive, because there are times that they have seven guys blocking and have three guys out in routes, and they're still able to find space. One particular play was I believe it was second quarter. Noah Brown had about a 20-yarder when Jaden just dropped it right over the linebacker's heads in zone coverage. What I loved about that play was they had six guys blocking. You had Noah Brown in motion, so they were able to identify for Jaden that they were in zone. And you had Deami Brown run a deep route to run off the safety. And then they just floated in Noah Brown right behind, you know, that second level. And Jaden, of course, made an incredible throw with a lot of touch to get him the ball there and get a big gain. But you see them do it in a lot of different ways. We've seen them go everywhere from, you know, lining up five wide to two running backs in the backfield, no tight end, to lining up with eight men on the line. You know, they've done a really good job of varying the offense and still finding ways to get guys, to scheme guys open. And it's been impressive to watch. And I think as you look at, you know, this progression, you know, one of the things that we've talked about every week and everyone's been concerned about is whether teams are going to catch up to Cliff Kingsbury. We're 9 weeks into the season. We're halfway there. You know, I think that we're seeing a evolved Cliff Kingsbury offense, not running into the same issues that he ran into when he was in Arizona and was the head coach and dealing with a lot of different things. Of course, it helped that Jaden Daniels is back there, but it's been fun to watch.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options, from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
no doubt with Jaden being someone who can just bail them out. There's one of my favorite just wacky plays from Sunday is, I think it was like Chris Rodriguez's second snap. He doesn't play basically the entire first half. If at all in the first half, they're like, eh, let's try C-Rod out here in the second. And he just completely misses his assignment on a pass protection. And I think it's a play action, so those are a little bit harder for the backs to give him some slack. And to really compliment him, he doesn't give up on the play when Jaden just completely makes the DB miss. Now he's a runner, and C-Rod just goes and lead blocks for him, and it winds up being a 15-yard game when you're against a nickel blitz where your back just totally misses the assignment. So there's some stuff where, yeah, Jaden bails you out. But to your point, I think the way that Cliff has always been able to tweak these runs and just find stuff, and the fact that they did it Sunday without Brian Robinson, that is next level stuff. And we actually talked about this a lot this morning with Logan, where I was like, man, it feels like they're running 1,000 different runs. And he's like, dude, they're running like 4 or 5 runs. They just dress them up so many different ways that it looks like 1,000 runs. And the thing is, to the defense, it's going to feel like 1,000 different runs. But to the offense, it's bounce, it's duo, it's inside zone, it's Wanda. Like, it's the same 4 or 5 runs. And so they know how to execute them against anything, even if it looks completely different to the defense. And that's the kind of thing, Mitch, to kind of bring it home. I don't know what the adjustment is to that. I'm not an NFL defensive coordinator, but that feels like something that is very hard to quote-unquote figure out in the way that Cliff has been figured out in the past.
Right, and you know, to that point, there have been a couple formations that have become familiar formations for us to watch in-game and to some extent in practices and whatnot. And this week in particular, and it started a little bit last week, you know, you would see... I'll just say a particular formation, I'd be like, oh, this is a quarterback run. This is a quarterback power. Or, oh, this is a counter tray. Or whatever, you know, particular run it is that you see that I've seen a lot out of particular formations. And they were working on the second level of those runs. Play actions, you know, read options, whatever it may be, to kind of show the defense what they think they've seen on film for the first 8 weeks. And then, you know, working off of that. And It's fun to watch because it's a progressive offense that we're seeing make progressions each week. And quite frankly, you know, we both have watched a lot of Commanders football, and I'm not taking any shots at any previous offensive coordinators that have been here, but you know, I've been covering the team since 2008, and I don't know that I've been able to as readily identify an offense that is clearly showing a defense, hey, I know that you've seen this on tape. This is our counter to what your counter is going to be to us. And I just think it's kind of, you know, third dimension thinking, and it's been fun to watch.
100%. Mitch Tischler, Beltway Football Podcast, is out daily during the season. He and JP Finley, and of course, they're live on the Monumental app postgame on Sundays. Mitchell, always a pleasure, sir. We'll do this again with the air horns ready next Tuesday.
Hey, hopefully we're talking about after a Steelers win and getting ready for a big division showdown with the Eagles.
I am Craig Hoffman, and I approve this message. Mitchell, thank you.
We don't do politics here, Craig. You know that.
I did not do any politics, Mitch. I just said goodbye. All right, that's Mitch Tischler, everybody. That's all. That was just a little fun on Election Day, Anthony. Because guess what? No matter who you're voting for or voted for at this point, you got about a little over 90 minutes to get to the polls if you're on your way. By all means, we endorse voting on this show. We have made it through our last NFL Sunday with having to hear the message, I am insert candidate, and I endorse this message. No more political ads when we watch the NFL this weekend.
Finally.
And even though I am someone who is a bit of a politics junkie, I could not be happier. Literally muted the commercials this weekend. Didn't need it. We're done. I'm Craig Hoffman, and I endorse this message. When we get back, how about a little Jaden Daniels film breakdown? Logan, I just talked a couple of things that we mentioned with Mitch in terms of the conversation I had with Logan this morning on Take Command. A lot of the run game stuff, you're going to have to go to the Take Command podcast to get. The Jaden Daniels portion of the show, that we're going to play for you on the radio next.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.